Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Holy poopy pants. By the way, if you're listening to Mind Pump and you're hearing our language change, it's because we have a child in the room.
That's right.
So we are going to replace all of our bad words with child-friendly words.
Happy words.
Happy, yes. Child-friendly. Yeah.
Fluffy clouds.
Gosh darn it.
That's right.
Golly gee willikers.
Bummer. What are we doing, Douglas?
We're going to give away some t-shirts.
T-shirts. Give these nice people t-shirts.
Give them t-shirts in their faces.
That's right. Yeah.
No, I got good news this week.
What is it?
28 reviews.
I told you.
You call for it.
I told
we
you.
Get it.
Actually, no. I didn't tell anybody, but I like to say that.
Yeah, I was after just wondering. Cool I was happens. Like, wait a second. When did you say
so
that?
So we're here first part of November. We have 850 reviews. My goal?
1,000 by the end of the year.
Yes.
I like
got
that
it.
Goal.
You nailed it.
1,000.
1,000.
I'd rather have a million, but whatever.
We'll take what we can get. So I'm going to give away 8 shirts today.
Whoa!
Yeah, 8. But hey, you
just
know.
Like they
there
grow
goes
on,
all our money.
Like they grow on trees.
Hey, come on. We want to reward these people.
Okay.
All right, starting with Rustman Bobman.
Like that guy.
And then we have JD, JG, JD, NC, and blah, 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 blah. You know who you are.
Good dude
we
also.
We got Sedona Zoe.
Oh, hey.
Excellent.
Don't know who you are.
Beautiful.
Sand Chums.
Hmm?
Not much of a fan.
Beck Lee, PT. Kayla Cordio, 21.
Pretty sure I dated her.
EdTech. And then Heart, Mind, and Soul.
Oh.
Pretty sure Sal dated him.
Yep. Did you say him?
It could be it. True. All right. So please send your name, the one I just read, to iTunes at mindpumpmedia.com, your shirt size, your shipping address, and we'll get that right out to you.
And don't forget to leave us reviews. Oh, you know why we had so many reviews? Because I taught people how to leave reviews.
Oh, yeah.
It was because of that.
All right. We'll do that again.
Let's
soon.
Do that.
You like how you just
should we explain
that
real quick? How to leave a review?
How do you leave? Tell us. Tell us.
Go for it.
Tell us.
Because it's very difficult to leave a review because iTunes makes it very, very tough. They don't like to make it easy.
Let people know. Since we just gave out 8, I'm sure.
You go on iTunes. This is what you do. Even if you already subscribed to us, you have to do this process. Click on the search function on the bottom right. Type in Mind Pump, 2 words at the top. Hit search. We're going to pop up. Click on our icon. There we are. Click on reviews, which is up towards the top. Click on reviews, and now I can click on write a review.
Beautiful.
Let's do it.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You're going to listen to a Q&A episode. At the end of it, we answer a question, and we go into the importance of proper exercise programming. As you all know, MAPS is probably the most superior type of program when it comes to exercise programming. In fact, it is the best.
Best around.
This month only.
No one's gonna fucking take it down.
Enroll in any MAPS bundle. We have the Sexy Athlete bundle, the Build Your Butt bundle, or the RGB bundle, which is 9 months of exercise programming. Enroll in any of those, and you'll get a free MAPS t-shirt of your choice, and you'll get to pick any of our guides for free. That's the Nutrition Survival Guide, the Fasting Guide, or the Occlusion Guide. Any of those for free. This is what you do. Go to mindpumpmedia.com, enroll in a bundle, then email admin@mindpumpmedia.com. Send your name, your shirt size, which kind of shirt you want, and which guide you want, and you'll get those for free.
And your address, right, Doug? Your address, name, shirt size.
Fuck, I thought I remembered all
almost.
That.
You almost got it. And the guy that you want. So don't forget, make sure you put all that's important. You
not the
do
guy that you want. Because we all know you want, Justin, the guide that you want.
Yeah, make sure you do that. That's the most important part. If you want to get your free shirt and your free guide, make sure that you send the email right afterwards.
Guide your way to success. Ziggy Piggy, Ziggy Piggy.
What's that from?
What is that from? I think it's Bill and Ted's. Bill and Ted's, because it... When they had Napoleon and they were trying to babysit him, right? And he was eating ice cream at that place, and then he ate the whole thing, and then they came by And it was at Ziggy Piggy's, and they're like, Ziggy Piggy.
Dude, that's a movie that's nobody watched. I mean, I feel like it's a classic, right?
Of course it's a classic. I hate people that don't know my Bill and Ted references.
I love it.
I hate you.
I hate you if you don't know that.
You dick, Bill.
You know what's another movie that we forgot about, or people kind of forgot about, and I showed my kids the other day? Ace Ventura.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, great classic.
That was a lot of one-liners.
Just to say it's a classic makes me feel like
old
turd.
But here's the thing. I don't know if you guys have experienced this yet. I put it on, had the kids watch it, and I pumped it up. I'm like, this is the funniest movie you've ever seen in your entire life. And then I watched it. I'm like, it's not that
funny.
But
anybody that impersonates him,
is it because it got played the fuck out?
No, it's because
he's the only one that can pull it off.
We were a part of that generation of that type of humor didn't exist before him. It kind of didn't. I know somebody that's old is listening. Oh, no, that was like so-and-so. Like
someone that's old.
Yeah. Ace Ventura.
We don't have any old
like slapstick stuff.
Yeah. Well, no, that like ironic type humor or stupid humor, like Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura, all those. That type of comedy, I feel like, didn't really exist before those guys. And if it did, they really evolved it. Then the Chris Farleys came. All these guys. Yeah. Started to do this like self-depreciating humor where
it's like physical comedy too.
Well,
right?
I don't know.
Like
I don't think that. I don't think that necessarily goes out of style. You know what I think? Happened?
No. None of that goes out of style. It's just that we wore the newness of it. It was brand new. All those guys were so fucking hilarious because it hadn't done. But name someone who did it before.
Yeah, I know that. Well, I don't know because I was young. I can't think of movies.
You weren't that young before Ace Ventura. You were probably
Did Ace Ventura come out? Mid-90s, right? I believe so.
It reminds me of like the Three Stooges. You
know, Three Stooges is slapstick. Slap each
other. There you go. There you go. Though that, I mean, and look how classic they are and how long they carried for.
But see, here's the thing. I think Ace Ventura had such a huge impact on pop culture. Like how many catchphrases. Caught on because of that.
Do not go in there.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, all that stuff. Alrighty then. It's all played out. As an adult now watching, it's not as funny.
Yeah.
No, I don't know why. Actually,
it's different. It's a different time. I think it's, you know, like maybe it's because we're not fully developed cognitively yet. I don't know.
No, I just feel like it's because it's been played out a little
bit. Childish kind of.
Was so new to us. It was so hilarious. But now so many comedians after those guys have tried to kind of do the same type of humor. And some have excelled at it and done well. And
yeah, you're right. You can only watch that once. I think that's it. Because remember, they tried to like make a follow-up to that. And it was god awful. It's like you can't do that same joke again.
It was fun.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It was like the follow-up to Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber 2 was nowhere near as good as
the
first one.
Name a comedy movie that had a movie right after that, a follow-up that was any good.
Yeah, that's good.
You tell me. Friday?
No.
The Friday series was still hilarious.
The first one was it.
Of course, the king. That's the king. Okay, you're treading on a topic that's, this is not disputed. Very rarely does any sequel do as well as the original.
I don't know.
There's only one.
Empire Strikes Back.
Die Hard series.
Thank you. Star Wars.
Die Hard series.
Yeah. Star Wars. Die Hard.
Kind of like Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom.
Yeah, the Godfather. The Godfather Part 2 was fucking money.
That was a bad example.
Money. Yeah. But most sequels suck compared to the original. Most of the time.
It's a coin flip with action and adventure type movies. All the Lord of the Rings. I could go on and on about all kinds of movies that I like sequels in. But
I don't know.
Comedy, though, you're right.
Yeah, comedy, you can't replicate that. It's like lightning in a bottle.
The first time.
What'd you guys think of The Hangover?
The first time somebody makes you laugh.
I liked the first one, but that was the whole joke. And then they repeated that whole joke.
Yeah,
the
rest of it.
It's like, dude, no, you already did that.
It's like this. If right now we're in the mid show, never done this before. If I farted, cupped it, and threw it in Sal's face, you would all fucking laugh right now.
I would die.
If I did that every time, Sal would be annoyed. You'd be like, okay, it's not so funny anymore.
Well, it smells in here, Adam. Come
right,
on,
exactly. So then you get annoyed by it because you've seen it already. It's not funny anymore. But there's something to be said about that. The very first time someone does something like that you weren't ready for, it makes you laugh.
I don't know. I think if you cupped your fart and threw it at me a whole bunch of, I think the repetitiveness of it would make it funny. I'd be like, again?
Fuck!
And I'd probably start laughing.
And
like,
now,
okay.
So it'd be like a whole segment.
I started something back in high school, and I still do this, and people, I love to do this to somebody for the first time. I have really bad allergies. So I sneeze all the time.
Oh, no.
So I love to, like, intentionally like sneeze, right sneeze on somebody.
What the
you're
fuck?
You're such a dick.
Wait. Hold on a second.
Because it's...
That's not funny. It's gross.
I've
seen one of my friends used to
do that. Okay, so remember this. I've told you this now. I won't do it to you guys. I'll do it to another one of our friends when we're all together. And because I've told you guys are going to fucking die laughing. Because when it happens to the person, they don't know whether to be mad or, like, laugh about it because they don't realize it was intentional. Because it seems... A sneeze seems accidental and it comes out of nowhere, right? Yeah. But you know when it's coming on. So I will do that and sneeze all over one of our friends and then you watch the reaction. I'll do it to like a Craig, somebody who like...
Yeah, you gotta get...
That's gross.
Okay, you get like a lot of mist to it.
What about... Well, I mean, I used to gleek on people. Do you know how to do that?
Man, you that's gleek? Gross, man. Yeah.
You had a friend that did that too.
I told you about my one friend that he had this like real unique talent. He could like summon from the bottom of his stomach like... this burp that would like come all the way up from his gut. It's just like, and he would let it out really slow right behind somebody's head. Like they didn't even know. He'd just be like, and then all of a sudden the person would be like, and he would like die. I was like, that's so rude.
You know?
And it's just like,
and this is where people think we're bros.
Oh my god!
Sort of think we're bros right here.
And people, I was just gonna say,
was like in junior high. You know what I mean?
I was just gonna say, and then you get people who are like, "Oh, men and women are the same, dude." Yeah. I don't see chicks doing this.
No, they don't do that.
They don't do that shit.
No,
which is why they're not as funny as we are.
That's it.
We're fucking hilarious.
Period.
Because
period.
That's not funny.
We don't have periods.
Yeah, we don't do that either. Because we burp on each other.
Does anybody else want to scream the top of their lungs inside of this new studio? I feel like because it's so...
Can I do it? Can I do the first?
Doug right away goes like, you see Doug reached for his pants. Oh, he reached for the controls right away. He's like, oh shit, no, don't do that right now.
I tried to give him warning.
I'm not ready for this.
I think because of the sound acoustics in here and the incredible engineering that we've done in here, I think Adam's voice may actually sound okay. Singing. There's only one way to know.
What the hell's wrong with you, Sal?
There's only one way to know.
I'm going to change the subject.
You're pulling him in.
Who dressed my dick?
Yeah, did you put...
Who did dress
the pirate outfit
I did that.
That's awesome.
I like it, Doug.
Yeah.
I like him.
Pirate dick.
Came in here and put a bandana and an eye patch on him.
It's
me hearties.
Apparently Dick's only got one eye.
Yeah, it's my one-eyed dick.
One-eyed dick. I like it. See, it makes so much sense.
We need to take a picture of this and post it on Instagram.
Yeah.
So that you listeners know.
I'm
going
to find a beard and glue it on.
If you guys want to see Adam's dick dressed up, the one-eyed dick, you go to our Instagram.
Dick.
Go to our Instagram page at Mind Pump Radio.
One-eyed, bony,
and I promise you, I promise you, the dick will be up there.
Richard, please. Only his friends call him Dick.
The dick is rigid.
Richard.
He's a champion.
And he's one-eyed.
Let's do this, motherfucker.
What the fuck?
Got me. Quiet on the set. Queen Claw.
The ankle has landed.
Chimera Claw.
Today's Quaw is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quaw.
The eagle has landed.
Quee Quaw.
Our first question is from Lexi RB. What if you want the health benefits of fasting but don't want to get leaner? Can you do that?
Okay.
Here's the thing. Fasting is so effective at getting leaner that if you're already shredded, you're afraid to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, the reality is...
It's actually a really good...
It is a good question.
It's a good question because...
We talked about, especially with women too, we talked about that. If they're already lean and then going into, fast, like there might be some challenges there.
Well, the challenges with fasting are the challenges you're going to encounter with any form of stress on the body. We need to hammer that home. We've said it many times, but fasting is a stress on the body, and that's why you get adaptations. Your body adapts to it, or why your body improves. Just like with exercise or any other stress on the body, your body attempts to become stronger as a result. Can you overdo stresses in the body? You absolutely can, and fasting is one of those things. So if you're shredded and you fast super long all the time and your calories are also low, you're going to encounter some problems. Now, that being said, let's say you're already at a healthy, lean body fat percentage, but you want the health benefits of fasting. Because besides fat loss, here's the funny thing about fasting. Fat loss is the side effect of fasting. I think the primary benefits of fasting have nothing to do with the fat loss. They have everything to do with the the neuroprotective effects, the the regeneration of the immune cells of the body, mm-hmm. The anti-inflammatory effects of fasting. All those things,
the dying off of unhealthy cells, or weaker cells, the growth hormone production that
filters
you get.
All that out. Yeah,
yeah. Insulin sensitivity. Yeah, all those things
just helps everything operate better.
Appetite
let's be
control.
Honest.
There's a ton of benefits from
that have nothing to do with weight loss.
And I think we're this. So someone who's like this. So if I have somebody who is, I put them on the smaller windows of fasting. So like, I'm going to push that person like the 15 mm-hmm. to 20 hour tops, that we're going to fast for. And then you now still have a window of, anywhere between 6 to 8 hours or so of eating that you still can. And so really the weight loss thing or getting leaner thing is going to come with your caloric intake.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are struggling with that, or you are afraid that you're going to get leaner, then you would just kick your calories up. And, if I'm somebody who, like this person, Lexi, what I would do is I would do it after a heavy day of calories. So let's say you enjoyed yourself and you ate in a surplus, I would turn around and run the fast after that. So whatever, weight loss or leaning out benefits you're going to get are pretty much canceled from the overconsumption that you just did the day before. So
that's a good point, because I think people need to realize fasting doesn't need to be done every single day.
No, it's intermittently. I mean, that's the whole point of it's getting you outside of that daily scheduled feeding sequence, stepping outside of the sequence. So that way your body responds, better and louder sometimes and things operate better.
Now, Adam, didn't you even did like a fast every once a week when you were bulking?
I do that. Yeah. I fast always once a week. That's how I intermittently do it, whether I'm bulking, leaning or maintaining. And right now I would consider myself a maintaining on a slash kind of lean right now. But even before that, when I was going through gaining and bulking, I would be still incorporating it once a week. And when I do it on a bulk, what I do is I just said I would have a day. So like for me, and we'll just use hypothetical numbers because we're all different anyways, a high caloric day for me would be like 5,000 calories. So I'd have like a 5,000 calorie day on Friday, and then Saturday I wouldn't eat till like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. So I would run my fast, and then I'd still end up having a 3,500 to 4,000 calorie day. But because I was in a surplus the day before, the average of the two still averages out to about 4,000 calories, which is about my maintenance mm-hmm. to maintain. So I'm not going to lose any weight off of that, but I'm not going to gain either. And I'm going to get the extra benefits of fasting.
Yeah. I mean, when you examine some of the research on fasting, there's so many different health benefits and there's so many different ways that you can do it. And some of the researchers even say that you should fast for a prolonged period of time, like a 24 or 48 hour fast, but do it very seldom. So like maybe once every 3 months, do a 48 hour fast and you'll get lots of benefit. Or once every 6 months, do a 72 hour fast. You're still going to get lots of benefits from doing it like that versus the more frequent, shorter fast. But they all have, they all have their benefit. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get leaner. And again, you can even do it when you're trying to gain by simply making up for those calories on the days before and after and all that stuff. Personally, for me, I don't fast to get leaner. I'm as lean as I want to be. I don't want to get any leaner. I don't want to lose any more weight.
I don't think any of us do. I think the majority of why we all use it is for the health benefits.
I'll tell you what, man. And it's a lesson that I learn every single time I stop fasting for a while and then I reincorporate it. I feel fucking great. Yeah. Every single time. It's almost like it's like a reminder every time. Like
the battery recharge.
Every single time. Like I'll go for, and I'll do this for a week or two at a time where I'll eat, regularly or, semi-regularly where I have breakfast, lunch, and dinner type of stuff. And then I'll notice my energy isn't as good or I'm not feeling as motivated or as sharp. And then I'll say, I'm going to do another 24-hour fast. And every time I'm like, God damn it, I forget how fucking awesome I feel. The energy I get from it is incredible. It's almost like natural caffeine. It's hard to explain mm-hmm. unless you've done it. Now, the thing with fasting, and it's funny because we always say, do it properly. Make sure you fast properly. There is a right and a wrong way to do it. And what I mean by that is, of course, not eating is the main part of fasting. but how you treat yourself during that fast, what you eat after that fast. And there are different ways to fast, and some may work better for you than others. You want to find the right one that works best for you. We have a fasting guide, a very inexpensive, it's $27, fasting guide that highlights 6 different ways of fasting that we approve of for people to use for, you know, fitness and performance benefits and health benefits. We don't typically encourage longer than 24-hour fasts because those tend to be more advanced, and I wouldn't recommend anybody do that unless they have experience with fasting. But that's our fasting guide, which you can find at mindpumpmedia.com.
Well, not only that, the reason why I was really glad that you picked this question was because it's important for us to talk about how we don't want people to connect the fasting to just a weight loss thing. In fact, that should be like the last thing that we're
totally
worried about when it comes to fasting. So, but I think a lot of people think this way. So I think it was important that we discuss this.
Well, dude, you list all the benefits, right? If I took a whiteboard and I listed all the benefits of fasting with fat loss being in there, right? And you show that to someone, which one do you think they're going to be most excited about?
Yeah, it is, drawn to that, and it's really it's the least important one at all of it. In fact,
it's a side effect.
Anybody who's incorporating fasting on a regular basis should not be doing it and watching their scale or how fast they're leaning or not leaning, because then I still think that creates another bad relationship with foods where it's like I need to like starve myself or restrict for many hours so I can look like this. Like no, back up. That's not how we want you to incorporate fasting. I want you to incorporate fasting for the health benefits of it, not because it's going to speed up your weight loss. Now, can they do that? Absolutely. Are these other, but yes, but your mentality going into it, I think, is very important, or else you can also create a very poor relationship with fasting. Then you start.
Oh, then fasting becomes another drug.
Well, then you're no better than the skinny model girl who that's the only way she knows how to get in shape is she eats carrots all day long. And that's like her diet to get in shape. You know, it's like, oh, I'll just starve the body.
You know, it's funny too. And I've experienced this with so many clients.
Yeah.
When they approach fasting with a weight loss intention, it's much more difficult for them to fast.
Yeah.
Then when they approach it,
it's mental warfare. Then
yes. Then they're like, oh my god, I just think about food all day. And how do you? When they approach it with the health benefits in mind, it doesn't seem to be an issue.
Right.
People need to realize the psychological effect of your intention with your nutrition is huge. Simply intending to become healthier makes it easier.
Because it's like you feel that you're doing something good for your body.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're not just trying to starve yourself, you know, to punish yourself or to do something in order to, you know, struggle through the process of it to get to a point. It's you're benefiting your body by doing this right now. And, you know, you're going to be able to assimilate food better. You're going to be able to, you know, your inner workings are going to work better. You're going to, you know, filter through all these like potentially harmful cells in your body, you know, so these are good things to do and to practice. And so it's discipline, but then when you go into it, like you're benefiting your body's health, you're optimizing your health. Totally different story.
When do you guys decide to fast? Like, is there anything that you notice in yourself? You're like, okay, I think I'm going to do a fast coming up. Do you have any signals at that point?
There's a couple of things. I know if I did like a really high carb day where I'm going to be inflammation. So these are the markers. Anytime I tell a client we're going to go on a fast, we're not talking about weight. We're not talking about the scale. All we're talking about water retention. We're talking about inflammation. We're talking about energy. We're talking about stamina. We're talking about sleep. We're talking about all those markers is what I want to hear back. I want to hear my client tell me, how do you feel? You know, and then I also want them to associate with once they get beyond that mental, oh, I need to eat at this time. How do you actually feel? Yeah. Do you feel all tired, or actually do you feel, because what most people are surprised at is when they would normally eat, so let's say, you know, 10 in the morning or 9, whatever it is, and they're skipping that meal, that's what they've decided, they're going to fast till 2 or 3 like most do on their intermittent days. They go, wow, you know, come once I broke past that half hour where I would normally be consuming food, I actually wasn't that hungry anymore and I felt great. I had great energy. I felt fine all day long. And then I noticed too, my stomach's flat. I'm not holding a bunch of water. I don't have inflammation. These are all the things that I'm talking to a client. So for me, I know when I eat something that, like, I fasted right after the day that we had this. We just recently, my buddy came in town. It was his 36th birthday. We had a phenomenal cake, and I had a little more than what I probably should. But I, you know, that this is how I roll too. Like, I mean, that doesn't happen very often in my life. So when I do that, I'm going to enjoy myself. But then I'm also very aware of what all that sugar ends up doing. So after that, I turn around the next day and then I'll do an intermittent fasting day. So that's kind of how I dictate my days right now.
It's a lot of times too. Yeah, I'll feel it out whether or not I feel like I'm oversaturated. You know, I feel like, you know, I've been consuming, you know, quite a bit. I've been trying to move more, but then I'm eating a lot and I just feel like, you know, I just feel weighed down, bloated, whatever it is, you know, just the feeling of being oversaturated. Then I'm like, I gotta interrupt this. And so then I'll use it for that. Or like Adam said, I'll have a pre-planned kind of weekend where I know that, like, you know, dinners are going to be heavy calorie wise, or I'll be drinking or whatever it is. And I'm just, you know, I'm going to just be cool leading up to that and hydrate mm-hmm. and plan accordingly. So it's just about kind of adapting to this sort of flux of lifestyle things that come in and out. And so, you know, that's what I love about it, is because it I'm able to mirror a lot of my lifestyle around trying to keep healthy habits by incorporating it.
See, I notice when I have my energy starts to get low consistently, like if I notice, God, I need more coffee throughout the day, or when I have gut issues, when I start to feel gut issues and digestion issues, mm-hmm. that for me is a signal, do a fast. And every single time a fast resets me, gives me my energy, reduces the inflammation in my gut. It's like, that's like my biggest signal for me. So these are things you might want to pay attention to with your body. And those are the reasons why you should utilize fasting, not necessarily for the weight loss.
Aaron K. Edwards is asking, what are some of the negatives of cannabis on the body?
Hmm. Adam?
The negatives, huh?
There really aren't any, to be honest with you. It pretty much makes all of life better. Some of the negative effects
Not
I have...
true.
Well, some of the negative effects I have found is I tend to like to have it before I have sex. And so sex after that is less exciting. So that could be a negative. I also noticed that some different strains promotes hunger. So sometimes I have a hard time controlling the munchies, as they call it. I also noticed that
on the street,
even though I use it to settle my brain down, and this a big thing that I like is late at night, I come home, I relax. I have a problem with shutting my brain down. It feels like it sounds like there's people, you know, hammering and sawing and making crazy noises in my brain all night. That's what happens. Then I smoke cannabis and it completely shuts that down. Now, the problem with that, it shuts that down. It also shuts this ability to remember the conversation I'm having with Katrina. So sometimes she'll be conversing with me.
That's just because you're a guy. That's because you're a man.
Okay, so I'm not. That's why I want to be careful, right? I don't want to totally connect that to cannabis. This could be just being a man and what it's like to be in a relationship with a woman for a long time, that you just start to... It starts to get all muddled after they talk for longer than 30 seconds. So, but I right now attribute that to the heavy
blah,
dose.
Blah, 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 blah. And then I went to this place.
What's
I have these shoes on and la, la, la. And I feel like this right now. And yeah. I always feel like
and
that.
Then Susie came over.
And we lost all our listeners.
Yeah, right. And then I just smile back and I go, I love that. Absolutely. Yeah. So these are some of the negative effects that I have found from cannabis. So I tend to be a little bit dumber while I'm medicated. I tend to overly enjoy sex. So without it, it's...
Oh, what a horrible side effect.
Whoa.
Shitty, like, you're just like making us... You just made more people want to smoke weed.
This is another thing, too. I also...
You forget your stupid conversations and you want to fuck more. Don't do it, guys.
I also notice when I watch movies,
in summary,
I can point out really bad acting. So if you're a bad actor... And I'm watching you when I'm high.
Time powered. Moves slower.
Yeah, it slows the movie down so I can see all the little mistakes that they make. So this can ruin a really good movie. So if you have a movie you like maybe it's
you're
Keanu
like,
Reeves.
There's a boomstick that went down right here.
Don't watch a Keanu Reeves movie when you're medicated, because some of those are some of my favorite Point Blank excellent movie. But when medicated, you see how poor of an actor he is. So there's things like that that I have found with cannabis.
No.
But for the most part, it pretty much enhances everything for me. What about you, Sal?
So here's the thing.
That sounded like a 3-minute
commercial. It's all science.
A commercial.
Sounds like a commercial for
science coming out.
No, we need to be honest with people. I first off,
I know. Sorry, somebody had to be positive about that. I knew you were going to go taking a turn to negative Nancy town here.
Yeah, no. Cannabis is definitely has some documented, scientifically proven negatives. One of them is memory impairment. This is a big one, and this is.
Oh, good. So I was right there.
This is the main... Yeah, you forgot that part. Hey. Yeah. This is one of the main reasons why I don't use cannabis more regularly. I limit my use because of the memory impairment side effects. And I can tell. I have a really good memory. And I can tell if I use more cannabis than I normally do that my memory would be affected, where I'll have a poor ability to recall certain words or... You know, conversations, and studies will confirm it. Studies confirm that cannabis causes short-term memory impairment. And believe it or not, there's actually some studies that suggest that cannabinoids can impair all stages of memory. This is especially true of young people that use marijuana. When you're young and your brain, because your brain doesn't really stop growing and developing. And I hate to use that word because there's always some neuroplasticity going on until the day you die. But most of the growth of the brain stops right around your early to mid-20s. And they find when people use cannabis heavily, especially during adolescence, they have some side effects, one of them being some long-term memory effects. Now, you have to understand this. This is what you have to understand whenever you use a substance that has an effect on the body. There's typically a counter effect. If it affects one system, it's going to affect other systems. And your body is this kind of homeostasis machine. It's always trying to balance itself out. Your body produces its own endocannabinoids. These are molecules and chemicals that are very similar to the phytocannabinoids found in cannabis. That's why you have receptors for them. What do you think is going to happen if I flood my body constantly with cannabinoids from a plant? What do you think is going to happen? Well, the same thing that happens to your body if you take lots of testosterone from the outside. Mm-hmm. Your body stops producing or produces less of its own cannabinoids, and it may down-regulate receptors that those cannabinoids attach to. So you could notice some detriments. Now, that being said...
Well, it's an obvious sign when you're somebody who finds yourself having to smoke or eat more and more of it in order to get the same feeling or effect.
Yeah. Definitely. And all cannabis use... The way you use it is not all the same. I mean, smoking it or vaporizing or eating it. Eating it's probably the best way to use it. Although the effects are so long, you probably don't want to be high that long every single day. Vaping is probably the best if you're trying to mitigate the effects on the brain because it's shorter acting.
Suppository.
Yeah. I definitely don't agree with people that do dabs. Dabs are ridiculous. Like one hit off a dab is like 10 hits off of a joint. I think using cannabis is one thing. I think doing dabs is like hardcore drugs almost.
Of course, they're going to go to the extreme. I think too is the ritual of like the association of things like, okay, I do this. I'm awesome at this because I smoked. I get sleep like this because I smoke.
Good point.
So I think that there's like a fine line with that where yes, you may get like benefits to it, but if you're solely relying on that being something to get you to that place and you haven't figured out how to do that without any added substance, that could be an issue.
I don't feel like it's much different than any fucking thing else that we talk about.
That's true. Yeah, it's a tool.
Exactly.
It's a tool like anything else.
It's a tool.
The problem with this thing is that of course we made it illegal like everything else that shouldn't be illegal.
By the way, that's the worst thing about cannabis is its illegality.
Yes.
Because the fact that it's illegal has caused more deaths. The fact that it's illegal has destroyed more lives than cannabis
ever has.
It's
made cartels money.
Right.
Yeah, that's what's
done. I mean, look at all the people that have gone in jail. I mean, it's federally still a Schedule I drug.
It's silly.
I think we're treating it totally wrong. I think we've overregulated the fuck out of it and turned it into something
that's prime for study to benefit us even further, but hasn't been conducted because it's illegal.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely anti-cancer effects that need to be studied for fuck's sake. There's some neuroprotective effects that need to be studied. Anti-seizure effects, anti-nausea effects. But like any tool that has an effect on the body, it can be abused and it can have negative side effects. If you're a fucking stoner all day long, I don't care how much you're protecting your neurons and fighting cancer, you're a fucking loser. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're abusing a substance, but you can do that with food too.
Exactly.
And by the way, there's more people abusing food than there are
Well, it's like, too, you talk about testosterone and the roid rage. You know, it's like, it's the person that already is like
an asshole.
An asshole. And it just, maybe that'll like, you know, enhance his assholeness a little bit.
True.
They were already an asshole.
True. And now there is also evidence to show that cannabis can lead to lower levels of motivation. This is probably due to the fact that using cannabis does stimulate dopamine release. And over time, your body may, it probably does, adapt to that by reducing its normal production of dopamine. And so you find yourself being lazier and less motivated to be proactive to do certain things. That may be why the whole, like, you know, lazy stoner, you know, meme.
Well, and I find this to be very speaking anecdotal, right? This is something that it doesn't matter if I've experimented with every sativa strain out there. So remember, I had clubs. So literally I've tried like every sativa strain that's out there, and indica and hybrid and everything in between. And it doesn't matter to me when I medicate with cannabis, I lose my productivity. And I know there's somebody out there that's listening right now and they're like, oh, not me. I work all day and I'm high all the time. Well, that I also have something to say to that person. It's probably the same thing that the person who eats like shit every single day and thinks they feel really good. You probably don't know what it's like to feel really good if you're fucking medicated all day long, all the time. And so you've learned to function and be motivated and go to the gym and do all your things and be high all the time. Well, then I would challenge you to be sober and not smoke and not do all the time, see how productive you actually really are. Because once again, when you become so dependent on something like that, then the real effects and benefits you're getting from it begin to diminish, just like anything else that we talk about. I mean, there's parallels we can draw to this, to working out. And movements and exercise that you do over and over and over. You can overdo anything. You can over squat. You know, you can overdo shit like that. Your body, it's important. These are all different stresses that we're putting on it, which are going to stimulate or cause some sort of an adaptation, which there are lots of great health benefits to all the things we talk about. But overdone, any of them can be detrimental to the body. So,
and I think it's important to know if you're a person that finds yourself needing to be in an altered state of consciousness all the time, you are likely escaping something. There's either you hate your life or you hate your job or you hate your wife or your husband or whatever. Things suck. You may be depressed. You know, you got to examine why. Why is it that I can't go about my day and enjoy my normal day unless I'm, you know, in some form of an altered state of consciousness? Really look at that. Now, that being said, there are real conditions in which people will benefit from being medicated all day long. If you have fibromyalgia, if you have severe gut issues, if you have, you know, incurable types of epilepsy, your life is only going to be better from controlling those symptoms, in some cases curing them, with the use of cannabis. So again, it's a tool and it needs to be utilized like a tool. But in no way, shape, or form would I ever advocate being high all the time for the sake of being high all the time. I think that's irresponsible. And I think you're just not, you know, you're kind of trying to be a loser, which is fine. That's your prerogative. Be a loser all you want, but don't pretend like you're not. You know what I'm saying?
Our next question is from 500 Days of Fuck You.
One of our favorites.
Yeah. We got Doug. Say it again. I just read what's there. Do you think going to college helped you learn anything that you wouldn't have learned if you didn't go?
Well, there's only one person that can answer this question.
Yeah, it was actually directed to me, but that's okay.
Yeah.
No, I definitely think that me going to college, this was all part of my particular pathway. And for me, like, I didn't really have any sort of super structured direction that I wanted to take coming out of high school. Like, I didn't know, like, oh, I want to do this for a living. Oh, I want to get into a trade, or, oh, I want to research this and get really knowledgeable and have this hunger to go in that direction. I didn't really know what I was going to do. And so having that structure that college provided really did benefit me. And me, like, creating new disciplines and working on projects and presenting and, sharpening my skills as far as research is concerned, that did benefit me a lot. And it was hard. It was a very hard, you know, process for me because, like, academia for me, like, I really had to work at it. You know, it didn't come really easily. And just the way that it's structured is not, and I didn't know that I would benefit so much not being in that environment. And that's why the contrast of that going from college to then sort of experimenting later. Like, I didn't really want to go into a 9-to-5 job. I didn't want to go in that direction. And I had this period in my life where it was like, okay, let's really think about this. What are you going to do? What are your plans? I don't know. But like experimenting and creating my own ideas, that really started to take off. And I enjoyed that much more.
Now, you went to school for Kinesis, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I do think there's definitely some jobs and careers where you have to go to college to learn. Like, you're not going to do it on your own as a doctor or a lawyer. You definitely have to go.
Of course, specialties.
But
like that.
In fitness, this is what I'm interpreting from what you're saying, Justin. It sounds to me like it wasn't necessarily the fitness knowledge that you took from college that you wouldn't have gotten outside of college. It sounds more like life lessons, like learning how to study, learning how to work hard, learning how to...
That's exactly what I took from it. And okay.
Which is kind of interesting. Like, you paid the money to learn stuff about kinesiology, but what you really came out of it with positive wasn't really that, because you learned more of that through experience, right?
Exactly.
Well, yeah. I remember, so I went to, I did 2.5 years. I was in JC, and I remember they actually got a part-time job as a personal trainer. And at that time, I didn't know that you could be a personal trainer and not have a degree. I actually had thought that all personal trainers had to have some sort of a degree in the field. So I was chipping away at my AA and was about to transfer over to San Jose and finish up my Kines. And at the same time, I was working a part-time job for 24 Hour Fitness. And my manager at the time says to me, like, man, you should really do this full time. Like, you're really good at it and you can work your way into management and you can make this kind of money and this and that. And I was like, well, you know, I really came over here to finish my degree and this and that. And he looked at me and he goes, well, you know, in our field that, you know, a national certification is just as weighted as a degree is, and you can take it at home and you could do this. And at that point I had realized, well, this is the career I want. Like, I knew that I finally had decided at that point that, you know, Kinesis was where I was going. I knew I wanted to be into fitness and in this world. I was in love with the company that I had been working for. I knew I wanted to be a trainer. And at that point, it was like, well, that's true. It does make logical sense for me to just start cracking away at this. And I was young enough at the time that I said, okay, well, this is how I'm going to treat this. I'm going to give this job 1 year and I'm going to go.
Yeah, that's exactly the same story as me.
I literally said, I'm going to give it 1 year of my life. I'm going to give everything I got into it. And at that point, I'm still young. I've already got 2 years under my belt of college anyway. So if I want to go back, I'm in my early 20s. I'm not like way behind and I can make that decision. And the rest is kind of history. I mean, I fell in love with the job. I started making really good money. I started accumulating national certifications. And I found that I had a lot of my peers that had degrees and masters in the field, and they were less successful at what I was doing. And I was like, holy shit, like, I don't have to go do this. I can learn on my own. I can kind of find out. So for me, that's why otherwise I was heading down the exact same path as Justin was I was uncertain. I came out of high school. I almost did like this. It was in Arizona. It was like a tech, what a trade school type deal, right? It was like a tech trade school that everybody was saying computers, go to computers. You know, that's where all the money was at. And so I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll learn some trade in computers and go that direction. I almost did that.
Thank God you didn't.
I almost signed up and went to the Air Force. I almost did a couple different things.
Man, you would have been miserable doing all that.
Oh, right. Totally, right?
Yeah, I almost went into the Marines.
And so I kind of went, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to junior college and I'm going to start to chip away. I didn't have money. My family didn't have money, so I couldn't afford to go to a 4-year. I didn't have spectacular grade. I finished with like a 3.1 GPA, so I didn't have the grades to get like a full ride somewhere or anything like that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go through JC. I got to pay for my own schooling anyways. So I'll save money that way. During that time, I can kind of figure out what I want. Well, my first year in junior college, I was working out already. And my buddy and I were like, I'll never forget. He actually said at first to me, he's like, you know, it'd be a really cool job, dude. We should look into becoming personal trainers while we're going through school. And that was the moment that I really started to dive into it and find out what steps I needed to take in order to become a trainer and get in that. And then I found out, wow, there's actually, you can make some decent money and I like it and blah, 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 and rest is history.
See, I think, honest to God, I think I would have really enjoyed college.
Oh, yeah.
However, I mean, my story is very similar to yours, Adam. First of all, I've always known I wanted to work in fitness. I fell in love with it at the age of 13, 14 years old. Always knew I loved it. I had to be in it somehow. So that wasn't the question. The problem with me was that school was completely and utterly unmemorable. I was so unstimulated. It was the most boring, I don't really remember it because it was
It's so unique and neat to hear you say that too, because you're not the average person who would say that. That's not coming from somebody who like hates to read.
No. I love to learn, man. Yeah, it was just so unfucking stimulating. It was
guided by somebody
else.
That's totally
unmemorable. If I honest to God, I have trouble remembering memories from high school because I just showed up. And I'd get decent grades because I just didn't give it. It was easy.
It's all memorization and regurgitation. But that's what I hate.
Literally, I would sit in class. I'm not exaggerating. I would sit in class, and if I had a textbook, if I was in history class or whatever, or government, and I was really into that particular subject, the teacher would be doing his typical, or she'd do her typical, you know, chapter 3, these are blah, 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 blah on the board, talking, and I'd be on chapter 15. I'd be reading the book myself in the back of the class. Mm-hmm. And then they would always think I wasn't paying attention. Sal, what's the answer to blah, 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 blah? And I'd be like, I'd know the answer because I read that fucking 2 weeks ago. It was so fucking boring that the thought of going to college made me want to rip my eyes out. Like, I have to sit in a classroom and continue doing this bullshit. It was totally unmemorable. I still signed up for junior college because I was like, I guess I have, because everybody says you have to go to college. Started as a personal trainer. In day one of personal training, I was blowing the doors off everybody when it came to, you know, selling personal training, getting people excited, whatever. Within 4 months, I was managing the fitness department. Here I am, 18 years old, back in 1997. I'm projecting to make almost $80,000 that year, which is a shit ton of money back in 97, especially for an 18-year-old. Meanwhile, I'm going to taking these classes and I'm fucking bored out of my mind because, again, when you start in junior college, you got to do the whole general education thing.
It's a high school extended.
Yeah, so, and it fucking sucks. I'm like, this is garbage. I'm going to just do this. At the time, I had worked with who became one of my first mentors, my very, very good friend, Don Cardona, who told me, look, you can move up in fitness. You got an entrepreneur's mind, you know, whatever. And so I went that route. Now, had I understood that once you get past that general education kind of extension of high school aspect of college, and you can kind of pick your classes and learn and grow,
specialize,
I probably would have fucking loved it because I love learning.
Yeah.
And I would have been challenged, which would have stimulated me.
Well, that's the frustration, is because I was in it and wasn't enjoying it because it was the same process for me. And really, for me, it became like this battle where, you know, I was already like sort of brushed off. Like, I was the kid that wasn't supposed to go to college. I was the kid, you know, that, and so my whole purpose was to prove the world wrong and get a degree. And literally, that's all I thought about.
I see.
So I just did it out of spite.
Well, see, you're, for me, I was a kid, it was a little different. You know, people were always like, you're going to get a master's degree. You're so smart, whatever. And for me, I was so bored and unstimulated that just didn't resonate with me at all. And I want to say this, look, school, especially public schools, do a shitty job when it comes to kids that are on, you know, that are a little different. And I was definitely a little different. I didn't need like special help, but I would be bored a lot in class. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that slipped through the cracks like that, who didn't go because they were just fucking unstimulated.
Yeah.
I had a client who I trained for a long time. This is one of the most brilliant men I ever trained. He actually he was actually partners with some of the greatest minds of the tech industry, including Steve Jobs. He was directly worked under Steve Jobs, and he currently works under what's his name over at Tesla?
Elon Musk.
Very, very smart guy. He got bad grades throughout school and kind of went to college. He had no other choice, and then realized he could pick what he wanted to learn. And then obviously, you know, he got to MIT after a couple years of junior college and became this like brainiac. But it makes me sad to know that happens a lot. It happened to me. Yeah. I guarantee I would have loved college. I think I'll go back at one point, although I don't know if it'll be the traditional form of college because education is changing so much and I have so much accessible
well,
now.
I think too, like, it's the teachers. Like, it all depends on what kind of teacher is influencing you. There's some teachers out there that really stimulate their students, that really put the extra work in to figure out who they're not reaching. And you know, my brother, actually, he had a great experience with that, and he actually became a teacher because of, he can pinpoint it to one teacher that influenced him more than all. Mm-hmm. And it was just because, you know, he showed him a way to kind of go around that whole process.
The system is designed to not do that, though. The system is designed, look, you go to a class, right? You're 11 years old. You sit in a classroom with a bunch of 11-year-olds. That's actually not good. believe it or not, children learn better when they're in classes. If I'm 11 and I got 8-year-olds in there that I can help mentor, and I got 15-year-olds that I can learn from.
For
and
sure. You have people to look up to. It's just like everybody knows this from sports. Like when you were a kid, if you played with somebody, if you played with your group or younger kids, like to elevate your game versus if you were always, I was always a kid who played with kids 5 years older than me. That's why I was good at sports. And I never really had the genetics or the body to be good at any sports, but I was pretty damn good at everything I played. And a lot of that had to do with I always hung out with older kids and played.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you look at education, it's designed to be this this homogenous, fit in this box. Like, you have to learn this. Here's your standards. Memorize this bullshit. Pass the test. We're going to teach you how to pass the test. Then you're done and you fucking forget everything.
Yeah.
It's not designed to stimulate that. And so, you know, that creativity, that passion. And so I think that's where you miss a lot of that. And I was, man, I was one of them. I'm telling you, I honest to God can barely remember high school as a result.
Well, I find the hard, I was really interested in the direction we go with this whole college question too, because it's a sensitive question to answer because the things that we're saying right now, we're all 35 to 38 years old right now. And, you know, my perspective on that is completely different. And my perspective on learning and wanting to learn is different. Like the age that you are when college normally arrives for most people, right? You're between that 17 to 20 years old. And man, that's a tough age to really have the self-awareness to know what type of person you are. And do you need the motivation externally to grow and to, you know, get better at whatever your craft is, if you even know where the direction you want to go. Like, so this is, I would never want to detour young mind right now from, I wish I had.
Continuing the education. I think too, like you're talking to three entrepreneurs. We have to keep that in mind.
Very important.
So, you know, it's a different thought process. And I think that's why, you know, maybe for us, we had a different experience. For a lot of people, college provides a great experience, a great sort of proving ground for them to, you know, work on their ideas and their processes and then apply them into a job that people like to work 9-to-5 jobs.
You have to consider this. One of the most damaging things that we've done in this country is we've hammered home that you have to go to college. You have to get a degree, a 4-year degree.
Right.
And what's happened is you've gotten kids who would have done great in a vocational school. They would have done very, very good, but they're hammered in their mind that they have to go get this 4-year degree. They end up getting a degree that they don't use.
Yeah,
it blows up the cost of college because we're so indoctrinated with the fact that we think we have to go, that we have these programs that make money easy to go to college. So you get all this easy money. Now college, the cost of college is ballooned out of control, surpassing inflation, you know, 10 times because it's this thing that we constantly hammer home. You've got people getting degrees that are worthless. And I hate to say it, your fucking liberal arts degree, I know you want to learn that shit, and that's great, and you should be able to learn whatever you want, but it doesn't really equate to much in the real world. But you're in your mind, you're thinking, I have a degree. I hate to tell you this, go out in the real world, get a job, you're competing with a lot of other degrees. It doesn't mean a whole lot. There's a lot of other things you can do, and if you're a hardworking kid with motivation and passion, you know what you want to do, there's lots of different avenues.
There's options
to go, and you can succeed in many different ways, and I think it's important, like Adam said, to know, you know, what you want, where you're going to go, and to know there's lots of different options. And college is one of those options, but there's many others.
You know, pay attention to. I notice this is very common. I find with a lot of my friends. I was actually probably the only one of all the friends I could think of that didn't go on to get his degree, his master's, and even some of my buddies are PhDs. Like what I found that was very common in almost all of them. Is because they kind of fell into this, like, you have to go to their parents, or you have to go to college, you have to do this. And they were just, like Sal said, indoctrined with this is the way, right?
Or the only way.
The only way, right? Right. Is when they got out, guess what happens? They shut down learning. They're over it. They accomplished that goal in their mind. They achieved their master's. They achieved all this education. So their desire to pick up a book and learn, they don't have that anymore because they're like, I did it. I did that already. I proved that I can go through school for six mm-hmm. to 8 years and accomplish this degree, and I'm pretty damn smart compared to the average person. And then they shut that down, which this is why a lot of, you know, my buddies that are the entrepreneurs, like the guys in this room and other buddies that I have,
you could just call that PhD syndrome.
Right. Yeah. And then they get that God complex and they don't feel that they got to keep evolving and growing. And now that we're in our mid 30s, approaching 40s, even so, almost like Sal, is that what's happening?
Mid 40s. Just call me Gray Pubes.
Silver.
Well, what you're seeing now is now
silver balls.
These guys never stopped learning. They had a desire to learn on their own, and they established that at a young age. So here they are, 38 years old, still growing, still learning, still pushing those limits, still pushing themselves. Where I have now friends that finally finished school at 25 or 26 after all those years of education, and they shut it down. So and it's like one of my favorite Lincoln quotes: "I have no respect for a man that's no wiser today than he was yesterday." Is they've gone through this whole process of getting educated and they stop. Mm-hmm. And sure, they're still pretty educated compared to the average person because, hey, they went through, got their master's or however far they went. But then they're like, ugh, I'm over it. Like, pick up a textbook. Well, pick up a book to learn.
And they have to lean heavy on that, you know, information that they've learned. And then when it changes, oh, shit.
Yeah, dude.
Now
go,
what?
Go to school and get a tech degree. By the time you graduate, all the shit you learned the first year is obsolete.
Oh, horrible.
It's worthless.
Go try and get in a company and learn.
I'll give you a good example. Let's say I go to school and I want a job that if I graduate, I'll probably make between $60,000 to $70,000 a year, which is more than the average. So it's a decent job. But in order to get that job, I need to get this four-year degree. And let's say I go to the best private college and that four-year degree costs me, I don't know, $80,000. I'm now $80,000 in the hole. I'm graduating and
I'm making 60
grand a year. Or let's say I go into a vocational school and I have a passion to be a plumber, a mechanic, a carpenter, or let's say I become an entrepreneur. During that period of time, I'm not going in debt. I'm not making much in the beginning, but by the end of that 4 years, I may be at the same amount, if not more, except I'm not in debt anymore. In fact, this is becoming a problem with some professions that you normally would think you make a lot of money. You look at general practitioners. Look at general practitioners in medicine. There is going to be coming a shortage of general practitioners because it is not worth the $100,000 that they invest in school to graduate to make 100 grand a year. It doesn't add up anymore. And this is becoming a problem. So I think the market's going to start providing solutions. And again, if you look at education, I don't think it's going to look anything like it looks like now, 20 years from now. I mean, for fuck's sake, in the palm of my hand right now, I have access to all of recorded human history. Right now, I can learn almost anything I want for free.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
In my hand. Yeah. And so that's going to change things. It's already changing things. So I think in 20 years, I don't know, this conversation might be very different.
Yeah. This is more of a porn box, I think.
Thank you, Justin.
That's best for.
Little Christy 22, I'm going to read hers verbatim. They say the only time you can gain muscle and lose fat at the same time or gain muscle at a higher rate is newbie gains or after a layoff. What about if you trained for years but didn't fuel your body, then you reverse dieted so your calories were at a maintenance slight surplus and started full body weight training? Wow. Do you think muscle gain will be similar to newbie gains, or muscle gain and fat loss could happen?
I don't know where to start.
Well, there's a lot wrong with this question.
Yeah, I don't know where to start with that. Can you gain muscle? Let's start with that one. Can you gain muscle and lose fat after you're through the quote-unquote newbie gains? Yes,
absolutely.
You can.
Absolutely.
If you send the right signals to your body will burn body fat and build muscle. Of course, there are genetic limits. If I've been lifting weights for...
It gets increasingly harder to do, too.
Well, of course. If I've been lifting weights for 10 years and I've, over the course of 10 years, put on 15 pounds of lean body mass... Mm. I can't just keep gaining muscle.
Yeah.
There's going to be a point where my body's going to kind of start to reach its limit.
Well, explain why the two things that she says in there, that when you're a newbie or you had a layoff and you come back, well, why do those people gain muscle? I mean, it's basically a new stimulus because
it's new stimulus, and you're starting at such a shitty starting point. You're starting at such a low starting point. It's like if I lived in a basement, you know, for 5 years and get no sunlight. I'm going to be very, very, very pale, and any amount of sunlight is going to cause a dramatic change in my skin. And if I go and tan properly, it's going to look dramatic within the first month. You know what I mean? From before and after, you're going to be like, holy shit, you look like a different person. But there's going to reach a certain point where I'm not going to be able to get any darker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what the whole newbie gains are all about.
Well, then she says, what about if you trained for years but didn't fuel your body? So in other words, you trained for a long time, you ate like shit, so you didn't eat the right way. Then you found out, oh my God, I've been training so long, I have been overtraining and under-consuming, and so she had to do a reverse diet. So in other words, she slowly probably increased her calories to get her metabolism probably working better for her. So your calories were at a maintenance slight surplus and started full body weight training. Do you think the muscle gain will be similar to the newbie gains? So she's wanting us to compare somebody with a proper firing, working metabolism and system to somebody who is brand new as far as absolutely the gains can be the same. Absolutely. They could be totally different too. You know, so there's so many other,
I've seen some pretty remarkable transformations in people who've hired me who worked out with the wrong exercise programming, had the wrong kind of diet, either because they just didn't know, or because they followed some, you know, muscle building magazine's advice or whatever, and they did it for years. Then I switched them to proper programming and proper nutrition. Oh shit, night and day, man.
Yeah.
It's like boom, you know what I mean? Within a very short period of time, they see pretty dramatic results.
Well, so I'm gonna give a shout out to one of my clients that I'm currently coaching right now. She's been with me for five or six months now. And she's a good example of what we're talking about right now. So when she first hired me, and I love clients like this. I love taking somebody who understands training, works really hard, understands like what's good food, bad food for the most part, and is just been stuck at a plateau forever. And now her body is responding better than it's ever responded, and we're doing less work. So her Instagram handle is Persian Firecracker. You can look her up, and I'm sure you could DM her and ask her some questions of what her journey's been like. But she's a perfect example of somebody who this is exactly what she's talking about, who wasn't really eating properly. And then now that she's got her metabolism working correct, and you got to remember, not only she got her food right, but then also she's trained. I have her on MAPS and she's training correctly too. So the combination of not eating correctly and now eating right and then training correctly is giving her beyond newbie gains. Yeah. So this person who's been training,
there is a formula to this.
Yeah. So it's that, and that's what I meant by absolutely you can see as good, if not better gains than a newbie for the very first time, but then you could also not see as much, and that should not be indicator of you're doing something right or wrong, because every case is different. But I feel like the person or the example you're giving us, the client that I'm talking about right now, is a perfect example. So you can look her up and kind of ask her some questions if you wanted to know what her journey's like.
Well, I have a cousin. His name is Gabriel. Great muscle building genes. Like, the kid just builds muscle very, very easily. And he followed a body part split for a long time. And he built a lot of muscle following a body part split. And what years, you know, few years ago when I created MAPS, as I've been, I don't know, 3 years now, I told him, I said, listen, you need to try changing your programming to something like this. It's far superior. And so we had a little debate about it. And, you know, because again, he's got great genes. He's like, no, man, I build muscle great. I don't, you know, it's not a big deal. I said, just give it a shot. He did. He switched. And within 2 months, he gained about 7 pounds of lean body mass, which is a lot of fucking muscle. Now, again, granted, the guy's got ridiculous genes, but all he did was trained properly, or to have the best type of program or better programming to send the right signals. I think people don't realize that if you send the right signals for your body, if you feed it properly, it's far less arduous than it is when you don't. It's not nearly as difficult. It's not this crazy grind like they tell you it is. In fact, when your body's working for you, you'll almost, there'd be moments where you'll be in disbelief and say to yourself, wow, I feel like I'm not, almost not working as hard. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, especially female clients I've had who just constantly overwork themselves in the gym and underfeed themselves. And after a period of 3-4 months, we get their metabolism humming again. And they're like, Sal, I can't believe it. I work out like 1/3 the amount of time and I'm eating more food and I'm leaner than I've ever been. I feel like it's like I'm cheating. Like what's going on? I tell them, look, your body is working with you now. You're not, it's not fighting you. And I think, you know, people need to understand that if you do the right things, your body will change and respond and progress. If you're in a situation where you're busting your ass in the gym and you're barely feeding yourself and you're getting little to no results, examine what you're doing. Because the likelihood that you're doing the wrong thing is very high. The likelihood is that your body, you're fighting against your body. You're not sending the right signals and you're not feeding your body properly.
Well, so, I give the analogy of all these little things that we talk about. It's like you got, it's like having a car and you're wanting to get more horsepower out of this car. And everybody wants to talk about putting a bigger block engine in it, right? That's like the obvious. But no one likes to talk about all the little things that play a huge role in how that car and how efficient that car runs, like the timing belt and, you know, how the if it, is it oiled up and are the tires evenly matched? And, you know, all these little things make a difference in how that car performs. But nobody really talks about the importance of all those little things. It's all put on the, you know, how big is the engine? How many, you know, how much horsepower are you supposed to have? Well, even though the timing isn't have like a it doesn't exactly give you 15 more horsepower, if all that stuff is off, the you trying to get the maximum output on that car is less likely than if you have all those things handled and smooth and running correctly. The same thing goes with your body's metabolism. When you're feeding it properly, you're resting properly, you're not, you know, overtraining it. All these things play a role in its your results, whether it be building muscle or burning fat. It all works together. And the more of those things that you can get right and get healthy, the more optimal and the more ideal your body will run.
Well, look,
that's
here,
a better analogy than mine.
Yeah, well, I mean, look here.
I was trying to go with like screw in a hole and it was a slightly bigger, you know, but then once you get the right screw and it screws in the hole right, it feels right.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense.
You know what I'm saying?
Look, look here. Look here. You could have, like Adam's talking about cars, you could have 1,000 horsepower car and put it on skinny racing bike tires.
Yeah, right.
And I can beat that with a 200 horsepower car.
Exactly.
With regular tires.
And that's my point, is yeah, all those other little things play a big
or
role.
Or you pre-thread the hole and then you get like the right screw and you put it in, it
yeah,
feels right.
We'll just stop right there.
Let's keep confusing people. Yeah.
We'll just stop right there. At the end of the day, listen to your body. Send it the right signals. Get good exercise programming. MAPS is a great choice. For most people, it's going to be superior to what they're currently doing. Feed your body properly. And I promise you, it won't be this crazy uphill struggle that a lot of you are feeling right now. Your body will work for you. Being healthy, lean, strong, and functional is much less work than you think.
Look, if you like Mind Pump, listen, subscribe
and
to...
And you know you do.
Leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, you'll get a free Mind Pump t-shirt.
You can always follow me, Mind Pump Sal, at Mind Pump Sal.
There you go.
You can find Justin yeah, at Mind Pump Justin. You can find Adam at
you
Mind Pump.
You follow Mind Pump Radio at Mind Pump Radio.
Very
on
good.
Instagram.
You can
very
find
good.
Doug at Mind Pump Doug.
That's so not good.
Yeah. Go do it.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.